Good morning. Welcome to one and all. If you take a big, deep breath of God, just fill every crevice of your being with God and just exhale, surrender all that distracts you from this place. And just bow your heads into your hearts, where the very presence of God is said to dwell, and listen to this written by J.B. Phillips. Lord Jesus Christ, I worship you as my God and Savior. You are the invisible God made visible, the container for that which cannot be contained, the exact image of that which is beyond imagination. You are at once the means and the end of creation. You are the gateway to the will of God and the pathway to eternal life in this life. You are the source of peace and forgiveness, joy and fruitfulness, faith and holiness, and you are the hope of heaven to come. Amen and amen. Look on the back of your bulletins and you will see missions, ministries, and hopes. I will just lift up briefly and say a few things about these things. Pecans, we still are selling pecans, and they can be purchased. Yes, Sammy. Okay.
So we'll be trying to get those in as soon as possible.
Well, there you are. There you are. All right.
Sanchez impression.
There's still time to order poinsettias. There are order forms as an insert, and then you can order those up to Friday, November 30th. The pickup date is that day. Advent Bible study will start this Tuesday, November 27th, and we will study from 6 to 7:30. There's a sign-up sheet put up in the kitchenette. So if you would like to be a part of that, is While We Wait is the name of the book, and I just invite any and all of you to be a part of that. I invite you to look at the insert about CWF's annual Christmas tea. It will be this next Saturday at 10 a.m. And Marilyn, did you want to say something about what they're bringing for that? No? Oh, that's different. That's different than what she wanted to tell. Okay. There is a whole long list of things that you may bring to Fellowship Hall, but really all you need to do is to come and to be a part of the women's tea that we celebrate every year. I wanted you to know that at 4 o'clock that day, we hope to have this whole sanctuary full for the marionette and the Children's Praising Puppets show. It's open to the whole community. It's out and about, so we will hope that everyone that has seen that will be a part of that. And then we're going to scoot out quickly and go to be in the parade. So anyone that wants to walk with us in the parade, the kids will be up in the bed of Steve's truck. So that is a part of the lighting of downtown. So
I need the kids here about 3:15 so we can run through that real quick before the show.
Great.
Please, please, please.
All right. And do you want to say anything about Christmas Eve?
Since I have a sign-up sheet on my door for the Christmas Eve service. I need to know who all is going to be here so I can make sure everybody has a part. Okay. So please sign up on the door.
All right. And do you want to say something about the Christmas tree? Okay. We're rock stars when we have mics, aren't we? Really?
We have a Christmas angel tree is out again this year. The reason it's out so early is because the gifts have to be back here by December 9th. I have to give them by December 13th. So if you take it, please take a tag or two if you want. There are several, if you don't want to shop, there are several tags that ask for like a Kroger or Walmart gift card. We have three families of 10 children this year. So, and make sure you bring the gift back with the tag and not wrapped. We don't want them wrapped. If you want to bring some wrapping paper or tape or anything like that too, we're going to give those to the families so they can participate in wrapping their own gifts and for Christmas.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
And speaking of December 9th, we will be caroling that day from 1 to 4. We'll have a light lunch, and then we will head out. You can participate in part of that, all of that, and it is a great day. We go all over Franklin, and so it's a really, really great day. Would you like, Wendy, to announce something?
All right, so we just had Thanksgiving this past week, and I know we all were thinking about things we're thankful for. As we go into Christmas, we try to share that joy of Thanksgiving. So make sure you do the angel tree. I know we're constantly continuing to do the personal care items. I'm also going to start collecting for the Haiti mission trip. They'll be going again in January. We're collecting through January and then leaving in February. So okay. We're collecting any of the medications, like over-the-counter Tylenol, ibuprofen, bacitracin. Also, I'll collect the summer clothes again. The females wear skirts, so remember that. Flip-flops, anything else you want to share the blessings with the Haiti people.
You might make that on an insert so that they can take those things home. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else that wants to say something? Marilyn? And then we'll go to Steve. Sorry, we are active, aren't we? It's listed in your bulletin, and then that way you'll have a list. Yes, thank you, Heather, for bringing that to our attention. Okay.
This Thursday at Scott Hall is the annual. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Test 1-2. Test 1-2. Okay. Thursday at Scott Hall, we have the Jim Rhodes Annual Memorial Hog Roast. It goes to benefit the Interchurch Food Pantry and the Good Cheer Fund. Last year, we raised over $20,000. So this year, our goal is a little higher. Meal starts about 11 o'clock. It's catered by Malone's and FFA in Indian Creek, bringing some incredible smoked pork chops. Brass choir will be there playing Christmas tunes. Come out, it's a great day of fellowship and fun. And speaking of fun, I want to welcome Caleb's parents. Sorry, I had to take this opportunity to welcome Brian and Carrie. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. All right, anyone else? Okay. Let's stand, and on the front of your bulletin, we have our call to worship of God, and Bill is our worship leader this morning.
Good morning. Please sign and pass the attendance slips down the aisle. Blessed be the Lord God. Blessed be the Lord God.
Blessed be
Blessed be the Lord God. The opening hymn is number 90. Come, Christians, join to sing.
Now let us greet one another as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Today's scripture is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. You can find that in the Pew Bibles on page 176 if you'd like to follow along. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross.
Good morning. How are you today? Good. It's good to see all of you. I am not Rafael Sanchez. I am Beth Sanchez, but he is in New York with his mom, so I am taking over for a little bit today. I want to know, if I gave you a piece of paper and crayons and I said, draw what you think Jesus looked like, what would you draw? You would draw Jesus. I love that. What do you think he looked like? Would you draw a baby? A tan man with a bushy beard. Love it. Maybe you would draw a baby, like baby Jesus, or an angel. Maybe you wouldn't even draw a person. In this scripture, it states that the Son is the image of the invisible God. He is God. So when asked to draw Jesus, it kind of seems impossible. And it seems like what you draw might be different than what I draw. Is that okay? Yeah, it is okay. And if I think about Jesus, I can see Jesus in all of you right now. I can see Jesus in this church when we do special things like our puppet show we're going to be doing, and when we do our cereal drive, and just when we say hi to each other and smile at each other. So remember that you can be Jesus. You have Jesus inside your heart all the time. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for these children. The image of you shines through them, and for that, I am very thankful. Let us continue to reflect your image and love to all we come in contact with. In your precious name, amen.
Thank you, Beth. There's a time and a place for everything. And now it is time for praying to God. Among our brothers and sisters in Christ, we share our joys so that they will be multiplied. And we share the things that break our hearts and weigh us down among our brothers and sisters in Christ too, so that they may be divided and the weight of them not be so heavy. And so I lift up a few that I already have, and then I will ask for yours. Jeff Justice continues his healing process, and we just ask that his healing be swift, that it be complete, and that he be able to join us back in sanctuary, which is his desire. And so we lift him up to the Lord for complete healing, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We continue to pray for Haley Pearson's grandma, who is in hospice care, and may her days be sweet. And may her passing be gentle. And so we lift her to the Lord and that entire family as they go through this process with her, for her to prepare to go to our Lord. And so we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for Richard Isley. Richard received another treatment. He will go in another week or so and have another treatment. And then we'll have a scan to make sure that the immune therapy is doing what it's supposed to. It did the last time. We're praying that it does this time. We lift he and Linda. Linda gets worn out too and has her own health issues. And so we lift them both to the Lord for healing and wholeness. And may they feel surrounded by our prayers and our love. And we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We pray blessings on our faith family that grew last week. we had six people that came forward, or five people that came forward, and may have one again today. We just want to lift them to the Lord. May they know that we love them, we will care for them, and we will receive that mutually from them, and they will be a part of us now. And we lift them to the Lord in blessing and praise. And we pray, O Lord, hear our praise. We pray for the light of Christ in this darkest time, in our winter time, and sometimes in just the joy of Thanksgiving and Christmas. Sometimes those who struggle with darkness in depression and sadness or whatever's going on in their lives that may be pulling them down, we just pray that the light of Christ enters in and that we bring the light of Christ to them. And so we lift them to the Lord and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Sheila, as a friend, a classmate of Bob Swinehammer and Karen Harden and Sue Vaught, maybe a friend of yours, she is in hospice care and is in end stage of life. And so we just lift her up. She's having a lot of pain, so let's really focus on the pain relief. And may she feel our prayers. And may she be comforted by those who love and are making this journey with her. And so we lift her to the Lord and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. And Nancy Janes, her daughter Christy, who always sits over here, Christy Daniel, as part of our faith family. And her best friend, her mother passed away this last weekend. And so we just lift her and that entire family up as they mourn the passing of Christy's friend's mother. And so we lift her to the Lord and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Nancy Jane's nephew, his wife, came up for a visit for Thanksgiving and went to the hospital at Johnson Memorial with pneumonia. So we just ask that she heals and that she be able to go back home and be comfortable and that she heals soon. And so we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Are there any others that you'd like to lift up? Yes.
My husband.
Yes. Yes, yes. Scott Parkhurst fell and, I don't know, did he fall? Yes, he fell and broke his arm. It was in an odd shape, showed it on Facebook. It must have been very, very painful. Lord, we thank you for lifting him up and you, because you're going to make this hard journey too. So we hope his pain is relieved, his healing is swift, and we lift him to the Lord and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes.
I'd like to lift up my mother-in-law, Lois Rufflander.
Okay.
She has some renal issues and causes her to be short of breath.
Okay.
And her husband passed away 2 years ago. She still struggles with that on a daily basis.
Okay. Her name is Lois. Okay, we lift Lois up in her pain of mourning and in her ill health right now. And so we lift her up for healing and wholeness, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Thank you, Heather. Anyone else? Yes. Yes, Eileen. I know that he was struggling from cancer, but I did not hear what you said after that. It's dormant. It's dormant, yes. We asked, and he has really fought that and has done very well, but it's not been easy. And so we lift him up to the... His name is Norman? Eddie? Okay, Eddie. Okay. We lift Eddie up to the Lord for healing, and may he have a long life, and may it be sound. And we hold your daughter and you in our prayers as you are a part of this. And so we lift you up to the Lord, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Thanks, Eileen. Anyone else? Yes. Don had a good Thanksgiving, and we're thankful for that. And we lift him to the Lord, and may that continue. And we know that your heart feels better about that, that you got a chance to enjoy him. And so we lift him to the Lord, and we pray, oh, Lord, hear our prayers. Thank you, Susie. Anyone else? Okay. Let's bow our hearts before our God. We come into your known presence, O Lord, and pray to you our praise of you. You are our God Almighty. Holy God, through the generations you have spoken to us. You have sent voices crying out in the wilderness. You have sent the words of an overjoyed new father and an expectant mother. You have sent the assurance of a condemned man on a cross. Quiet in us any voices but your own, that by the power of your Spirit we may hear the words you speak to us today. We do not confess our sins in the hope of forgiveness. We confess our sins with the certainty of forgiveness. Praise be to you, supremely forgiving God. In your holy word, you have assured us that we have been rescued from the power of darkness and transferred into the kingdom, the reign of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption. And so with that promise, we are confident to confess our brokenness, our sins before you, our God, and to anyone else that asks and worries about us. Holy God, we confess that we have neglected to declare Jesus. You gave him in your image and model for our lives. So we ask and beg your forgiveness, Lord. And Lord, show us the way to Bethlehem for new life in Jesus. We thank you for forgiveness through our faith in the Lord, in whom you, God, were pleased to dwell. We pray for your children, your teens, your adults. May they know you and your Son and our Savior. May we reach out and tell and act the loving Christ. May we know you that well. We pray for those that need mercy. We pray for the trampled, the ignored, the shoved aside. We pray for the homeless, the loveless, the healthless, the shamed and pushed aside, mentally ill. We pray for governments and home life, and communities and schools. May they all know the influence of wisdom rather than power. And may we declare with faith, the Lord is our righteousness. We pray that in the midst of chaos, we might hear Jesus' precious word, that in the midst of heartache, we might know Jesus' presence, and in the midst of the voices that surround us, we might proclaim, the Lord is our righteousness, Jesus, image of the living God, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our Lord, our God, we pray to God to help us sing praises in the way in which we share our tithing and our offerings and our very lives.
Thank you.
as we come into your house this morning, we come with thanksgiving. We thank you for this past week when family and friends could gather together in joyous occasions. We thank you for the many blessings that you have given our way and those that are still come in the weeks to come. We thank you for all of your love that reaches out. May we spread it throughout the world that others might know you. We ask the blessing upon both the gift and the giver that they might be used to benefit your community here on earth. In his name we pray. Amen.
We are about to hear a duet.
We are much blessed because Sierra's home, and we are much blessed to have Caleb here, and they are very, very good friends, and they are going to sing for us. And so thank you both, and just enjoy. Thank you. Thank you so much. What a joy. What a joy. What talent. It is now time for a message from God through this human being. So if you'll take a big, deep breath of God, just fill your lungs, your heart, your soul, and then just exhale and surrender all to God that distracts you from this place. And then I ask that you go with me to God and ask blessings on this message. Gracious and loving God, we come into your known presence and we seek your will and purpose for our lives. Each week, you give to me a place to go in Scripture, and I'm thankful for that. Whether I give the words in a correct way, it is your preciousness in the midst of them walking about. May we each hear what we need to hear. May we each be able to take from this place wisdom and understanding that we did not have before we went to your message. It is in the blessed and holy name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray, ask, and beg these things. Amen. Well, here we are. Another letter. Paul was great at his letter writing. I wish he would write to me and just hold me up and say, good job, good job. Which is what he's doing when he sends this out to the Colossians. And he says to them, good job, good job, but remember who and whose you are, and remember where the power and the glory come from. It's not you that knows, it's who you know. And the other thing is that he wants us to know is that he's a little concerned about people around them, that maybe some of that will dilute what they believe and what they think. And so he writes this letter. And this author of Colossians writes that in Christ, Christ is all in all things. In all things, and the image of God, and the firstborn of all creation. For in Jesus Christ, all things in heaven and on earth were created. We look at this Son of the living God and see the God who cannot be seen. Paul is concerned that Christ is reduced when some look at him as human only. So we go to this beautiful text. And we read it, and we try to understand it. And we believe, hopefully, that Jesus was fully human, fully divine. We look at the Son and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got its start in Jesus Christ and finds its purpose in him. Christ was there before any of it came into existence and holds it together right up to this moment and beyond. And when it comes to the church, not just our faith family, but all faith families around the world, Jesus organizes and holds us together. Like a head does a body. He is the supreme in the beginning and in the end. He is the supreme one leading us in the resurrection parade. From the beginning to the end, Jesus Christ is there, towering far above us, even though he lives in our hearts, our souls also. But he's towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people, things, animals, atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his ultimate sacrifice and love, forgiveness and mercy poured down from the cross. All things have been created through him and for him. What does that feel like when I say to you that you were created for him? You were created for him. Paul's letter gave tribute to the power and glory of Christ Jesus. While commending the Colossians for their actions, he reminded them that Christ's power comes not from what we know, as I said, but who we know, Jesus the Christ. Now, usually in our day-to-day life, if we say it's not what you know, it's who you know, it's a negative thing. But this is a glorious thing. God provides salvation for anyone who will take it, who will receive it, who will accept it. God does not require that we know hidden secrets or certain hidden information in order to accept Christ's message and enjoy eternal life with him and life abundant here on earth. No, we are required one thing, to say yes, he is sufficient, that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and is our Lord and Savior. Yes to Jesus. We have spoken of this all-powerful and glorified Son, but we knew him also, loved him also, believed in him also as Jesus of Nazareth. God knew we needed both the supreme, supremely powerful, plus the one who walked among us. Hear this story that is an illustration and understanding of both. It's called The Man and the Birds by Paul Harvey. I know it's ancient. It's eons old. He writes, "The man to whom I'm going to introduce you to is not a Scrooge. He was a kind, decent, mostly good man. This man was generous to his family and upright in his dealings with others. But he didn't believe. He just could not believe all that incarnation stuff, which the churches proclaim at Christmas time. It just didn't make sense to him. He was too honest to pretend otherwise. He just couldn't swallow that Jesus story when God came and walked among us as human, as a man. I'm truly sorry to distress you, he told his wife as she and the children got ready to go to the Christmas Eve program. He said he'd feel like a hypocrite if he went, that he'd much rather just stay at home, wait on them, wait up for them. And so he stayed, and they went to the midnight service. Shortly after the family drove away, the snow began to fall. He went to the window to watch the flurries getting heavier and heavier, and then went back to his fireside chair and read his newspaper. Minutes later, he was startled by a thudding sound, then another, sort of a thump or a thud. At first, he thought maybe someone was throwing snowballs at his front window. But when he went to the front door to investigate, he found a flock of birds huddled miserably in the snow. They'd been caught in the storm. In a desperate search for shelter, they had tried to fly through the large front window. Well, he couldn't let the poor creatures lie there and freeze. So he thought about the barn where his children stabled their pony. That would provide the warm shelter if he could just direct them to it. Quickly, he put on his coat and his boots, and he tramped through the deepening snow to the barn, and he opened the doors wide and put every light on. But the birds did not come in. He figured food would entice him, so he went in and he got bread, and he just sort of shredded it along the path into the barn. But to his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs and continued to flap around wildly, helplessly in the snow. He tried catching them and shooing them into the barn by walking around waving his arms, and instead of scattering and going into the barn, they got farther away. And then he realized they were afraid of him. They didn't trust him. To them, he reasoned that he was a strange and terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know that they can trust me, that I am not trying to hurt them, I'm trying to help them. But how? Because any move he made tended to frighten them, confuse them. They just would not follow. They would not be led or shooed because they feared him. And then he thought to himself, if I could only be a bird and mingle among them and speak their language, then I could tell them not to be afraid. Then I could show them the way to safe and warm, to the safe and warm barn. But I would have to be one of them so that they could see and hear and understand and trust me. At that moment, the church bells began to ring. The sound reached his ears above the sounds of the wind. And he stood there listening to the bells playing, "O come, all ye faithful." Listening to the bells pealing the glad tidings of Christmas. And he sank to his knees in that snow. And he believed and trusted. End of story. When God chose to reveal himself, shockingly, he came as a human body. The tongue that called forth the dead was a human one. The hand that touched with love and compassion the leper was calloused with jagged, dirty nails. The feet washed with the anointing tears of the woman at his feet were toughened with callus and road dirt. And the tears he shed while sobbing for his dead friend Lazarus came through tear ducts just like ours and from a grieving, broken heart. So it is little wonder that people came to him for love and forgiveness, compassion and kindness and hope, and certainly a better life. Yes, they came, and they still do. They came by darkness of night, and they needed to touch him as he walked among them. They followed him to the water of the sea, and they invited him to their own homes and took their babies and their children and their teenagers to him so that he might bless them. Why all of this? I repeat, because we look at the sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at the sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. We look at the sun and trust the God who is not seen. Because I repeat, everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together. Thanks be to God. Right up to this moment and beyond. Thanks be to God. And when it comes to the church universal, Jesus organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. For some reason, it gives me great humor to see Jesus organizing us. I would just love to see him organizing us in our committees and our meetings. Wouldn't it be lovely? There were those who revered him. But there was not one person who considered him too holy, too divine, or too heavenly to touch. Remember, it is us, humankind, that puts space, distance between us and Jesus. Jesus is the one who builds the bridge. Sometimes we tear it down, and often. We need a big God. An almighty God, and we have one. We also need a God who walks among us, visible in life through followers of Christ, through his holy word, through worship, through all ways, all in one and one for all. I invite you each and all to bow your heads now and close your eyes and listen as we prepare to leave this time. Pray this week that God will spark new love, new understanding, fresh belief in the one that lives in your heart, for Jesus as well as yours and others' sake. And please, for the love of God who is love, find a way of telling the good news of God's love to someone, anyone. For we are to draw a picture of God for the world as we follow and live Jesus the Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. May Jesus the Christ bless and anoint this message with understanding for each of our lives. In the blessed name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Right hand, heart. Head down, bent in humbly to your Lord. As you listen, as I share this invitation of Jesus to the Lord's Supper, where all are welcome. Emmanuel, God with us, walked among us, looked upon us with mercy, generosity, and love. That remains true. Jesus, the image of God, willingly laid down his life for us all. Jesus, who was God, is God, willingly laid down his life for all. Jesus Christ now invites us all to the table of love and forgiveness, and we are to prepare to receive and accept and take in the meal of bread and cup, to remember such love that lives among us. Ask God for forgiveness and wait for the forgiveness assured. Let us prepare to do that by singing our hymn, The Lord's Prayer, number 307.
Dear God, how we thank you for this beautiful day, for this time of fellowship and learning. We have so much to be thankful for, God, but today we especially thank you for sending your Son Jesus, the firstborn of all creation, through whom we see and know you more clearly. Now we ask you to bless this bread as we share it in love and gratitude for all these things. Amen.
Dear and gracious Heavenly Father, your love for us is boundless. You have given us yourself in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your Son is the image of you, the invisible God. That we may have everlasting life, you sent him here among us, sacrificing your Son so that we may live forever. As we share the wine, let us remember this glorious and unselfish act, signifying the blood shed for us. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
On the night that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he gathered his disciples, his friends together, and he took bread, he gave thanks for it, he broke it and he gave it to them saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, he blessed the cup. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." For as often as you drink of the cup and eat of the bread, you proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. And the question was asked in the children's moment about the child, you know, growing or drawing a picture of Jesus or God. And the answer could have been, "I won't know till I finish it." Children have a miraculous, a lovely way of knowing God in ways in which I think we sometimes forget as adults. And so as we go from this place, I want you to think about the image of God in your life. As we sing this song, Ascending Forth Song, I offer up a time for any or all to come forward and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. You are welcome. This faith family is the most loving I've ever experienced. And so we will sing. Oh, I have to turn the page, don't I? Go, My Children, with My Blessing, number 431. And let's stand, and then I will bless you out. Children, Okay, it's one of my favorite songs. If you will bow your heads into your hearts and allow me to bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go out into the world in peace, declaring in word and actions that Jesus Christ is sovereign God over all creation. Go out into the world with courage that he gave you, supporting the ways he gives light to those who sit in darkness. And may God and Jesus and Holy Spirit, visible and invisible, guide your feet, strengthen your hands, and fortify your heart this day and evermore. And may you believe and know that God loves you as well as your pastor. Go in peace. Know that you are loved well. Amen.